Hey, Russ.
Hello, Tony.
Welcome to One Beer, One Song.
Thank you for having me. Yes. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm always glad when you're able to make time in your busy schedule. It's an honor to have such a significant
schedule
percentage of your
weekend. When we record. It's not, I was like, hey, what are you doing last weekend? Hey, buddy, what are you doing the weekend before that? What are you doing the weekend before that? You want to record? Want to record? And then, so you're like, thank you for making the time to come over to my house where we do the noises for people. So don't even pretend like it's my fault we don't record more. I have strong opinions. Hi, Tony.
I just know it's a big commitment and I'm glad you're able to do it.
I love you too.
Welcome to One Beer, One Song, where on each episode we miscategorize and underappreciate a beer and or a song, sometimes multiple beers, sometimes multiple songs. Never not. Just like I said in the last episode, just pissing and moaning about everything and the fact that it just continues to be like this. Even though it's been a couple weeks since you heard us last, I am still sick.
I'm still hungover.
Somehow. So, you know, some things in life are consistent. Yes, consistency. Oh. Let's do the beer first.
That kind of sticks with the trend we've built up over 6 years.
I know, I'm going to throw a curveball here. Let's start with a beer.
So, wait, we're 6 years old, right?
We just missed our sixth birthday earlier last month. May 7th.
Welcome to Miami, Mia Beer Company.
So
MIA, Neon White India Pale Ale. Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, pew. This beer this week comes from MIA Beer Company. But MIA is 100% a reference to Miami, Florida, the capital of Florida.
Wait, no.
I was gonna see, does Russ actually listen when I... Yeah, everybody knows Orlando is the capital.
No, God, what the... Economic capital, maybe.
So, MIA Beer Company. Even if you don't drink beer...
Why are you listening?
We are very charismatic and compelling personalities. I would recommend that you check out their website. MIA.beer is the URL for their website.
What's the age checker there to enter their website?
So it is a, you know how when we often talk about the poor design behind age verification walls to get into brewery websites? This one is a slider.
A slider?
There's a small
hamburger?
Slider with a dot on it and you...
I'm so confused.
Grab the dot with your mouse and you slide it to your age. When you move it up and down the slider, the number changes.
What is the lowest and highest number on the slider?
And as I was explaining that, I realized what we should have done was to move the slider under 21 and see what happens. And we didn't do it.
Incognito window.
Oh, right. Okay. Incognito,
it's like I test things on the internet for a living.
Here. There's the slider. I'm going to lower it to 17.
Two.
17. It just gives you a little text. You need to be at least 21 years old to enter.
Oh, slide it up. And how high does it go?
If I slide it all the way up here, it goes to 110. And if I... 110, they don't even give you like props for making it that far. You just get to go to the homepage.
There should be clever little things like, oh, well, did you know in this year, the Cuban Missile Crisis was a thing?
So the most striking thing about this, and we haven't smelled or tried the beer yet, the beer we're going to be doing today is called Neon. It's their white India Pale Ale, which I don't know if a white pale ale, if that's redundant or not. But the most notable thing about this brewery is the
racism
branding. I mean, it's always about racism, but the branding is as 80s and neon, like Miami Vice. I don't know how do you describe this brand aesthetic.
1980s Miami Vice,
like early 80s Miami, like pastels.
So the can is white. It has some gray thin racing stripes surrounding it, and then it just has the words in bright pink neon,
with like neon font, and then like.
And then, what do you call it? Paintball
fluorescent,
splashes.
Like paint splatter behind it. Yeah. And like, it is just as is 80s AF over here.
Yeah.
And so and we'll smell it and taste it in a second. But the other thing I wanted to comment on here is when you're on the website and you roll over beers or you click on beers, you get our beers, beer calendar, brew crew, and brew finder. And it's like, what's a beer calendar? So I clicked on beer calendar and
Tell me it's like cans and suggestive poses.
No, it is not. You are, although that would be very on brand for craft beer in general. Look at, as a digital marketer, you're going to love this. I'm turning my laptop around here.
Don't spill.
It's a Gantt chart.
Oh my God. So it's a flight schedule.
Months across the top, beers down the left column, and then Gantt chart filling in when they're
Holy
available.
Holy hell, that's beautiful.
Isn't that amazing?
That's fit. Hey, Mia, way to go.
Yeah, I'm saying.
I've never clapped for a brewery on this podcast.
Even if you don't drink beer, go to mia.beer and check out the web. They've got some interesting stuff going on their website. So let's get to the beer, the Neon White IPA.
That's my Magnum PI. My bad.
Yeah, that is Hawaii, right?
Yeah, but they're bringing that show back.
So it's a cloudy beer. I'm not even going to call it hazy. That is like dishwater cloudy, like straw dishwater.
Mm-hmm. Thin head. Nice lacing. That's bitter.
Interesting.
Why is it interesting?
It was kind of a long, long tangy finish.
How many sips have you taken?
One.
Go again.
Does the finish get different after the one sip?
No, I've only had one sip too, but we don't judge a beer after one sip.
It's got a, so here's a little personal admission. Like, I have not followed current IPA trends at all. And I follow social accounts like Don't Drink Beer and even stuff like Hoppy Floppy, where it's like, and the beers that they post in there, it's like, I have no idea what this is. Or even stuff that our friend Jason Domini posts, like, never heard of it, no idea what's going on there, like milkshake IPAs.
What?
And yeah, it has gotten very weird as we have aged, and I am not
are we
in the ball game anymore. And so I drink something like this and I wonder, okay, is that thing that I'm tasting, which again, I'm stuffed up, so I'm doing the brewery a disservice by talking about their beer while not having optimal olfactory awareness. But like, am I tasting something?
Hi, we're optimal olfactory awareness and we're from Athens.
Right. Like we are old and out of touch. Like, we're going to talk about this beer relative to what we know about beer, and what we know is outdated, is what I'm saying.
We were never pegged this podcast on being correct.
Time
on anything.
I was a beer expert, Russell.
You were a beer judge.
That's true. Don't tell me I can't judge after one sip. I'll judge the shit out of it.
You can judge it. You'll just be wrong.
That was my whole thesis, is that I'm judging it, and my faculties are based in outdated...
trends awareness?
Yeah, outdated... what's the word? Oh my God. When you set a benchmark, calibration. Oh my God, calibration.
I was about to say celebrity... hot tub.
Okay. So it's tasty. It's bitter, but it's not, I mean, it's bitter like an IPA. It's not, but like, it doesn't slap you around.
Well, you and I are very confident in saying we don't know shit. There was that.
I'm getting like interesting like melon notes. Like, there's like fruity juiciness in here.
I trust your nose like I know. Mm. There was a trend where IPAs weren't bitter. And now there seems to be this trend that beers are getting
bitterer
again. And I hate using the word again, but we've had some beers recently that it's like, oh God, that's a bitter IPA. That's, oh, I've forgotten about this.
So I'm clicking through. I will say,
Blake's actually, probably screaming at us right now, and that's fine.
Oh, for sure. He's driven his car into a tree already.
He came to a sudden arboreal stop.
The MIA.beer site is saying that this site most likely needs a Google Maps API key. I don't have a Google Maps API key.
Oh, here. Oh,
here we go.
I
was trying to find Neon, like, show me the Neon. Juicy Hoppy Citrus, a white IPA brewed with Pilsner malt, white wheat, and hopped exclusively
I wouldn't
with...
use...
Oh, darn it.
I would not use the word juicy to describe this.
Okay. I know I've been filleting their website, and just now I was reading the beer and it auto cycled to the next beer because I'm reading it in a carousel, and that is a poor user experience. Am I?
That's correct.
Citra hops that yield a strong yet smooth floral and citrus aroma and flavor. Okay, so 7.5 ABV.
Oh, it doesn't drink like 7.5.
No, it's very smooth. I'm not annoyed that I have three more. Oh, it's a tall boy too, which makes Russ nervous.
If I was drinking by myself, I wouldn't pick it. I would put it back. But we're splitting a can, and that's fine.
But you go to a bar and you get a pint of beer, right?
Sometimes.
How many ounces are in a pint?
Two.
The same as in a tall boy. Mm-hmm. This is a pint of beer, and we're splitting it like a married couple.
You're welcome.
I know.
You just Han Solo'd me.
What does that mean?
When Leia goes, "I love you," he goes, "I know." And then he gets put in the carbonite. You just fucking soloed me.
"I love you. Thanks."
High five. See you out there.
Right. Nice hustle.
I'll get you a towel.
Yeah. Be right back. Next, should we do the song or should we do some snacks?
So.
Or you want to stay on the beer for a minute?
No. Let's do some snacks.
Okay.
We'll come back to the 1980s theme of this episode, but so where did you go?
Well, I've tried. One of the reasons that Russ has not been able to make it over to record very much recently is because I'm not here.
Oh yeah, your son and I record a shit ton of episodes because you're not here.
So I've been to California a couple times. Where else? Went to Toronto, Canada,
London, England.
That's the week after next. Which like I'll probably be there when everyone's listening to this one, maybe.
Then we robbed the house.
Right. So while I was in Toronto, Canada, downtown Canada, a colleague of mine had told me one time, a former colleague, he's like, "Yeah, if you could bring me some old Dutch ketchup chips." And he was from Edmonton. And I was like, "Come again?" And he's like, he's like, "Yeah, it's like a thing from my childhood. Like we just eat ketchup chips, and the best, the most notable Canadian brand is Old Dutch."
So, would they take chips and dip them in ketchup and eat them?
At this point, you and I both know the same amount about ketchup chips. So, I actually have some ketchup chips from Toronto.
What in the goddamn?
Yeah, but I was not able to. Canada and the UK both take their like fried potato crisp snacks very seriously.
Is that a single serve Lay's bag in Canada? Because it's much bigger there.
Yeah, you're right, actually. This is a...
if that's their version...
66 grams, whatever the hell that means.
That's 66 paper clips.
But I brought Lay's back because the store that I went to had Old Dutch, but they only had like the picnic size.
Mm.
And I didn't want to... I mean, I actually could have fit it into my bag, but I didn't want to risk like explosion in the... You know, whatever. Oh. So I brought a single serving of Lay's ketchup chips.
Can you imagine that question from your wife? Why are there potato ketchup chips in your underwear?
Oh, no, for sure. When I came back and I was unpacking, she was like, "What the fuck?" And what's amazing about this packaging is that there's the big Lay's logo, which is that the sun? Is it the sun with like the Lay's red ribbon and Lay's?
So bright.
And then the only other descriptor on the entire package is just the word ketchup. And then there's the potato being sliced and then it turns into red chips. So I'm gonna open these up. Oh, look at that.
I should read the back of the package. Oh, thank you.
Oh, it smells like...
It looks like
it smells like a fast food restaurant, like potatoes and ketchup. Like Wendy's when
it looks
ketchup
like,
pump.
Okay. Yeah, this smells like McDonald's.
I don't hate them.
They're mislabeled. This should be ketchup and vinegar.
Well, I mean, tomato ketchup is very acidic. It's very, the sweetness kind of overpowers the acid, but tomatoes are really acidic. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
It begins with quality homegrown potatoes, just as it always has. Simple, wholesome, and real. First, we carefully wash, peel, and slice the potatoes. Then we cook them until they're perfectly crisp, bringing out their wonderful potato taste. I don't get any potato in this.
Except for the fact that it's literally a potato.
But I... Take another.
And was that description saying that
lovely and delightful that I read? Yes, it was.
Let me cook them first. We had seen delicious ingredients are homegrown, so you get the. They're not saying like bathe yourself in potato-y goodness. It's made out of potatoes, and then I guess they just fry them in like boiling ketchup. Oops.
Finally, we add seasoning for flavor. Oh, flavor is spelled Canadian. That's awesome.
Flavor.
Yeah. Delicious ingredients and homegrown potatoes, so you get that perfect crispy chip every time you reach into our bag. I want to reach into your bag, baby. Yeah. Oh, and then it's in French. Oh, how Canadian is this?
I mean, that's pretty middle of the road Canadian to also have it in French.
The nutrition facts, or the valeur nutritive. It has calories, fat, lipids, cholesterol.
And are the metrics in like milliliters?
Milligrams. And then sodium is sodium. Everywhere you go, it's just fucking sodium.
NA.
Carbohydrates versus glucides. Proteins versus proteins. I love the French. Well, these are gluten-free.
Russ is reading this bag of chips like it's his favorite comic book. Like, oh, Archie did it again.
I would never read Archie. Fuck off.
All right.
Okay, so song. So this neon beer can that's sitting on our thing. We were like, okay, we have to come up with a theme, like a song to match it. I said, great, the Miami Vice theme song. And you said...
We've already done that.
And I was like, what?
Yeah, and actually, that's not what I went to look and find in the... maybe we haven't done Miami Vice. I thought we had. I thought it was part of a... no, maybe not. I don't know.
A rabbit hole that I would like go down? I wonder if that's a Mike Post one. Hold on. Look it up. But
no, Miami Vice is very... I thought it was Harold Faltermeyer, but I might be wrong. Maybe it isn't. Let me look. Mike. I'm searching the... No, Mike Post is Magnum P.I.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, which you've already sung once on this episode. Same thing.
It's coming back.
In February 2016 when we posted that episode.
Miami Vice.
No. What was released recently, which goes perfectly with the 80s whole thing, is...
I'm literally holding my phone up to the microphone.
Quality radio here we're making. You guys can listen to Miami Vice and Tony Eat Chips.
This is great.
Hopefully somebody is listening to this in traffic and they're stopped on like 285.
They're like, screw it, pull out the gun, bang, dead.
They've been on the road for an hour and they've got an hour left and they've got... cell phone Miami Vice and me chewing on Canadian ketchup chips, and they're like, what have I done with my life?
A couple years ago, Patton Oswalt talked really deeply about depression. He said, I had the most depressing moment. My depression reached up and grabbed me, and let me tell you about it. He was it was him at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday standing in the frozen food section of the grocery store, and he was looking at the Lean Cuisines, and a specific song, it was so generic, something like R.E.M.'s Green.
Okay.
And he said just this convolution of moments of him standing in an empty grocery store at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday looking at the Lean Cuisines as a fat guy with this generic song. He said, if I had had a gun, that's the moment I just would have ended it all. Like, oh, stand in the...
So the song, which we have not yet named, is actually going to be... from the 80s, but it's the new modern cover of it. It's Weezer doing Africa, Toto's Africa.
Now, why is this a thing?
Because, you had to ask me that and I don't have anything pulled up. I mean, I know why. Basically, there was a troll account, a Twitter troll account that was created with one purpose, and that was to convince Weezer to cover Africa. So let me see if I can find anything quickly on the internet. Huffington Post.
Sounds like a noble use of the Twitter. I mean, there's far worse uses of Twitter.
Okay, yeah, here we go. So from a Huffington Post article, back in December of last year, so 2017, a 14-year-old Weezer fan named Mary started the Twitter account at Weezer Africa.
Mary's the new Carol.
The screen name was, with the screen name, Weezer Cover Africa by Toto. Its sole purpose was to convince the band Weezer to, you guessed it, cover the song Africa by Toto. The Cleveland, Ohio resident told Noisy of Vice Media, the whole thing started as a joke. She just wanted to see if she could get them to cover the song. She even said, please. So the
oh.
the tweet that started it all, at Weezer, please cover Africa by Toto, please. And then she just continued to incessantly tweet at them. We've moved one step closer to our goal. Weezer cover Africa. And then she's tweeting at Rivers Cuomo, the frontman of Weezer, and blah, blah, blah. And then... Oh, wait.
There's more.
I'm learning. Okay. Here, finally, in May, Weezer released their Toto cover track, Rosanna.
Rosanna.
I am very much on the record that Rosanna is better than Africa.
Why?
We did Toto Rosanna on episode 143 in March of 2016. That's one of my favorite songs of all time, and I had no idea.
That is so off-brand for you.
I like to keep people guessing. So then they're like, yeah, the band was trolling us all. And then they released their cover for Africa in May last month, although it's still very early June. But what's amazing about this is that Weezer used the tweet asking them to cover the song as the album artwork.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That makes me feel good.
So I've not heard this song yet. I've not listened to it. But without further ado, here's Weezer covering Toto's Africa.
I hear the drums echoing tonight, but she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you.
The rains down in Africa.
So when this made the thing a couple days ago, I listened to the first 30 seconds and I stopped because I was like, this is dumb. Who cares? But we just listened to the whole thing. Those choruses are awesome.
When it started, it sounded like kind of a note for note sort of remake. And I was like, what I was thinking in my head is like, how are they going to Weezer this up? And
are they going to make it their own?
Well, I thought they're either going to do an earnest note for note rendition, or they're going to screw it up and make it sound like Hashpipe or Beverly Hills or one of their other mountains of garbage. And I was so pleasantly surprised when the chorus kicked in, because I was like, that's exactly, I didn't even know that's what I wanted, but that is exactly what I wanted out of that song.
I thought the bridge was good. I didn't really care for the, what do you call it if it's not the chorus? The verses, right. I didn't really care for the verses that much.
I mean, those were, I think, the earnest rendition, like note for note copy.
But man, those choruses kicked in. I just felt all the feels.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, man, strong.
Well, and now I got to go back and listen to
Rosanna.
Their Rosanna cover, because that's obviously even better.
Well, one would hope.
Well, and so the thing with Rosanna is it's got a really fantastic shuffle beat. And I've actually watched YouTube videos of Jeff Porcaro, RIP, talking about how...
Did he die in an elevator accident?
Oh, my God. I don't know how he died, but he died in 1992. And he talked about how
the moving sidewalk.
Oh my God, Russell! The guy that you're laughing at was a really close personal friend to a lot of people that I like, know, and care about.
I'm sorry, it just—it's
not funny.
No, someone dying is not funny. The way in which he died.
No. If it's someone you know, it is not funny. Knock it off.
I can't.
So Jeff Porcaro talked about how he used "Fool in the Rain" as inspiration. The Led Zeppelin song with the really great slow shuffle. And so that is there's the Fool in the Rain Rosanna shuffle, that, as drummers call it. And I'm interested to hear Pat Wilson from Weezer do that.
And let's go listen to that.
That's my homework for next time. We probably won't do that cover as a song because we've already done that song. But yeah, so we finished the beer, MIA Brewing from Miami. I think the beer was fine. I'd drink more of their stuff. They have we talk obviously a lot about their branding and their design aesthetic, and it translates very well to tap handles. And I'm always fascinated with tap handle design, because you go to a place that has, you know, 24 tap handles on a tap wall that's like 4 feet wide, and it's like, how do you differentiate yourself without being a dick? Because if your tap handle takes up too much space, you're just not going to get put up there. So it's like, follow this really strict set of rules, but then also set yourself apart. But you want to make it so that from 100 feet away, somebody can say, not only that's a beer by this brewery, but what beer is it? And so Monday Night does a good job of that, because they, you know, it's colors, right? And these guys are the same way.
And they're shaped in ties.
Right.
I think we have to mention too, this beer came from Florida.
Yeah, not necessarily known for
great water. Actually, I'm just going to double check this wasn't contract brewed somewhere else. Nope. Brewed and canned in Doral, Florida. Is Doral near Miami? So the fact that they could make a delicious beer using that as a source.
Yeah, Doral is just a suburb of Miami. And then thoughts? Any thoughts on the ketchup chips?
They smell like McDonald's. I do not subscribe to salt and vinegar as a flavor combination.
Okay.
And I think these are very similar to that. So, meh for me on the chips. But please continue to bring overseas snacks into my life.
I will, definitely. I like the ketchup chips, but I would rank them, especially these Lay's ones, because they're like all other Lay's potato chips are just super thin.
But these held up better than your standard Lay's potato chip.
I would rank these like equal to Lay's barbecue chips.
I can't recall eating those.
That's barbecue potato chips?
I don't think I've ever tried one.
Okay. Interesting. Now we know. I'll bring some international, it would be a foreign take on barbecue potato chips.
Actually, I would probably enjoy those more, because to me, barbecue implies sauce.
Right.
And I don't like sauce. I want a dry rub or mustard based. Keep in mind,
mustard is a sauce.
I have blood sugar issues. So ketchup and brown sugar and all that kind of stuff,
yeah,
it doesn't play with me. So I would tend to steer away from a barbecue potato chip. not my brand. But don't you think those like are sturdier than your standard Lay's potato chip?
No, they taste exactly the same. Or they feel exactly the same. Yeah.
I disagree. I think these are sturdier. This is a sturdier chip. This is the hill I'm going to die on.
These are sturdier. Canadian Lay's are sturdier than American Lay's. Why do you hate our freedoms?
And I just think, I hope I die in a ridiculous way. I really do. I want it to bring joy to someone else. So I'm not, I feel bad that you lost a friend.
We're coming back to that.
I do. I feel bad about that. But if it wasn't your friend, just random human, oops. It's just like the Wild E. Coyote way of dying. It's ridiculous.
I mean, if you walk mindlessly into an elevator shaft, yes. But if you're trying to escape from a broken elevator and you get snagged and die as a result, that's not funny.
Snagged? It's death by hoodie.
That's not funny.
And then the other guy by escalator.
Well, and also, like, I mean, if you screw around on an escalator, you get what you deserve, because those things are killing machines. But in this case, he was just screwing around, like, in, he could have been screwing around on a chair, but he's up high and he fell one floor and it was enough to kill him. We're talking about the guy in the previous episode who died.
It's also, to me, it's just like dying by Zamboni.
I don't know what, you're just picking weird things now.
Okay, any way of dying like by motor transportation, I think is a wheelhouse and it's on brand for me. I think that's, but like by Zamboni.
Like horrific car accidents? That's not funny.
No, by like non-pedestrian-based moving machines.
I don't know what that means.
Escalators, moving sidewalks, elevators.
Segways,
sure. Oh man, any death by Segway is funny. There's a circular escalator at Caesar's Palace.
What?
Yeah, it goes in a circle. I can't. I've seen it. I've ridden it. I don't understand it. But I think a death by that would be pretty funny. Bye.